In a Summer Season by Elizabeth Taylor, dramatized by Elspeth Sands, with Anne Bell and Roger Allen.
Nothing. A bad dream.
Oh, we can't have that by now.
It's the worst time, isn't it? Just before dawn.
No, but that'll be what it is. You want to try my cure-all?
Epsom salts? No, thank you.
What I had in mind was something far more potent.
Mrs. Meacock will catch us.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Do you know what time we...
Fell asleep or came to bed?
We've been married nearly a year.
You make it sound like a sentence.
Most married couples...
Ah, but we're not most married couples, are we?
No.
I want to make love to you all the time.
You'll get tired of me.
How can I get tired of the only woman I've ever loved?
I'm 10 years older than you.
And I'm a no-good Irishman who married you for your money. It's what people say.
Who cares about other people?
You do. That's why you have bad dreams.
Hold me, Dermot. Love me.
You taste of rain.
I only want to be with you. I don't care about anyone else.
And we'll be together always, darling Kate.
Tom? Tom? It's 7 o'clock. Tom, can you hear me? You've been late for work.
All right, Aunt Ethel, keep your hair on.
That boy needs a good talking to. His father would have done it.
Baldery, Baldery, a knapsack on my back.
Oh, Mrs. Meacock.
Oh, morning, madam.
You're very cheerful this morning.
Peace of mind. Don't have anything without that.
I've called Tom. I do hope he'll have time to eat a proper breakfast.
Is that my niece's tray?
Tea, cups and saucers, sugar, milk, toast for one.
Why only one?
Master never touches breakfast, so he says.
Well, would you like me to take it up?
Oh, no, madam. I couldn't let you do that.
I'm sure they're awake. You can hear Tom's radio all over the house.
I shan't be a jiffy.
Nothing to eat. Really? Alan always had a full cooked breakfast. But then he went out to work.
You should never wear clothes, you know that.
In this room I hardly ever do.
Your skin looks as if it's been polished.
Your mother would say that's a fault.
She's jealous.
How do you keep so slim, Kate, dear? She makes me feel positively guilty.
It's good of you to go and see her.
Someone has to.
It's you she summoned, not me.
She misses you.
Fiddlestick, she's got the whole of Knightsbridge to amuse her.
You're her son.
A proper Harrods woman, that's what my mother is. She's got no more interest in me.
Just a minute. Come in. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Meacock.
Will that be all, madam?
Is Louisa up yet?
Not that I know of.
First day home, she deserves a lie-in.
You've been lucky with that racket going on.
I think he's in love.
Spanish party, isn't it?
Her name's Ignacia. She's a family helper, a sort of nanny, you know. Here to learn the language.
Well, is that all?
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Meacock. Oh, she makes me feel guilty.
Not another one.
In the way, you know.
It's your house, Kate.
You're right. The truth is, I'm so happy with you, I don't care much about other people's feelings. I used to, worried about them all the time. Now, I resent even a day away from you.
Can I have that toast, or do you want it?
I love you. I'm quite without shame, and Mrs. Meacock knows it.
Liver and garlic. Vitamin B. Extract of rosehip. Halibut oil. That should do the trick. God helps those who help themselves. Hello, dear. You're up early.
Thought I was still at school.
Well, you know what they say, the early bird catches the worm.
Where's Mother?
Oh, she's never down before nine. She and Dermot have a tray in their room. Shall I tell Mrs. Meacock you're here?
I don't want anything, just a cup of tea, thanks, Aunt Ethel.
Nonsense, child, you must eat.
What ghastly headlines. When I'm grown up, I'm going to ban newspapers from the house.
Don't you read them at school?
Not if I can help it.
But there's so much going on. New discoveries, records being broken. I think it's a marvellous time to be alive. A new Elizabethan age.
Atom bomb exploded on Bikini Atoll. What's so marvellous about that?
You can't stop progress, dear.
Mau Mau strike again.
What you need, Louisa, is a course of vitamin B. You sound rather sorry for yourself.
Vitamin B isn't going to save the world.
Morning, all.
You're going to be late.
So what's new?
Is that all you're going to eat?
At least have some honey. You know what Aunt Ethel says? The ancient Greeks trained on it
for the Olympic Games.
All very well to laugh.
Just pass me the paper, Lou. There's a good sister.
There's nothing much in it.
Lou thinks we're heading for another dark age.
She could be right.
You wouldn't say that if you lived through the war. Two wars.
I doubt if I shall live to see 30.
Really, Louisa, what nonsense you do talk.
The front runner. He's the one.
You see, Aunt Ethel, I'm right. Look at what's happening to Tom. He's turning into a juvenile delinquent.
Don't you think he's a bit old?
He never used to run after racehorses.
I never used to work for my grandfather either.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, one day, when I've won a lot of money, mm-hmm. I'm going to go up to him and say, "You're a miserable, ugly old man. You may be a knight and have a stack of money in a great house that nobody ever visits, but I wouldn't be you for all the gold in England." Got it all worked out.
I think that's rather shocking.
What about blood being thicker than water? That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, he's far harder on me than any of the others.
That's because he expects more of you. You're his heir.
I hate self-made men.
Why did you take the job if you hate it so much?
What else could I do? Don't have your brains or father's. Oh, God, is that the time? That old man will kill me.
You'll get indigestion bolting your food like that.
Be a dear and press my trousers for me, will you, Lou? I left them on the bed.
Press them yourself.
No time. I'm meeting Ignacio at 7.
Typical.
Mwah! There's a kind sister. Bye, Aunt Ethel. Oh, tell Dermot, I've taken his advice. No?
He's right. Blood isn't thicker than water at all. Don't you think he's more like Dermot than our own father?
If you'd known Alan at 22...
Father would never have been seen dead on a race course.
Perhaps we shouldn't discuss people behind their backs.
We can't very well discuss them in front of them.
It's difficult for Dermot. They've only been married a year. There are a lot of adjustments to be made.
He doesn't even have a job.
Now, that's enough, Louisa. I won't listen to another word. You know what your trouble is you want taking out of yourself. Perhaps while your mother's in London, we could play some duets.
Oh, no, Aunt Ethel, I can't. I have to go out.
But you only got back yesterday.
I have to see someone.
So soon?
It's important.
Well, if it's a friend, why don't you bring her back for tea?
No, I can't do that.
It's still a respectable house, you know.
I wish he wouldn't drive so fast.
He's all right. He's young.
And I wish you wouldn't encourage him.
Good heavens, what an idea. I don't encourage him.
Sometimes you seem more like his brother than his stepfather. How do I look?
Delicious.
We'd better go.
Mustn't miss the train.
I hope Ethel won't be too much under your feet.
Oh, I've plenty to do. There's the mushrooms to see to for a start.
How are they coming along? I meant to ask.
Too early to tell.
I'm sure it's a good idea. And that shed wasn't being used for anything.
Ethel thinks I've found my vocation.
Dear Aunt Ethel, it's good of you to put up with her.
I don't put up with her. I like her.
I daydream sometimes. I imagine her marrying the vicar.
He'd never be able to stand it. Not if he had to listen to her playing the cello.
She was good to me when Alan died. Kept me company. I can't very well ask her to leave now that I've found myself a new husband, can I?
No. Dearest Kate. I can't imagine you doing that.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Louisa.
How nice.
Hello, Father Blizzard.
Why didn't you come in?
I've never been to the 8 o'clock.
You'd have cheered us up. It's a cold affair normally. This morning.
I'm home for the holidays.
Yes, I rather thought you must be.
I thought there might be something that you might need some help.
As a matter of fact, you're the very person I want. I don't suppose you'd come to town with me, would you? Help me buy a birthday present for my sister.
I'd love to. I've nothing else to do. No one else needs me.
Well, my boy, what have you to say for yourself this time?
Couldn't get the car to start, sir.
Again? Might I suggest you take it for granted from now on that it won't start and get up half an hour earlier?
Right, I'll do that.
Time is money, after all.
Yes, sir.
I've no wish to be hard on you, but I can't be seen to be making allowances. The fact that you are my grandson...
Exactly.
...destined one day to take my place makes it more incumbent, not less.
Makes what more incumbent, sir?
The punctuality, consideration... I must say, if your father were alive... You don't have to serve me, you know. Not when we're on our own.
Right. Will that be all, sir?
How's your mother?
Well, thank you, sir. Lou's home.
I shall phone and invite myself to dinner. Since no one these days sees fit to phone me.
Mother is rather busy.
No doubt.
She's in London today, visiting Dermot's mother.
Quite.
Dermot's got a new scheme going. Mushrooms. He's taken over one of the outhouses.
He'd be better advised attending to the house. Last time I visited, I noted at least 6 things needing urgent attention. Alan would have dealt with them straight away. There's a proper way of doing things, my boy. I've tried to teach you that. Acting before it's too late. If your mother isn't careful... A house will fall down.
I'm not too early, am I?
Oh, darling, when I haven't seen you for such ages. It's just these wretched nails, they won't dry. Now, what can I get you? Whiskey? Sherry?
Sherry, thank you, Edwina. Dry, if you have it.
Those tiresome foreign girls of mine have gone to a class. Really, I don't know why I bother with them. They're never here when I need them.
Dermot sends his love.
And how is that naughty son of mine? Never comes to see me.
He's very well. He's growing mushrooms in one of the outhouses.
Mushrooms? Oh, really, Kate? I'm surprised at you. He's a married man. I do hope you're not encouraging him.
Apparently there's a lot of money to be made.
I can't imagine what your friends are saying.
We don't see many people.
Personally, I blame his father. A little bit of money he left him seems to have sapped all his ambition.
This is very good sherry, Edwina.
No, he's made a good many false starts. Had some bad advice, but... I had hoped that when he married you...
Dermot and I are perfectly all right, Edwina. You don't have to worry on our account.
Yeah, I was just saying the other day to my old friend Lord Orton... You remember Wilfred, don't you?
Yes.
He's opening a little business, Victoriana. I've been helping him look for premises.
Near Harrods, I suppose.
Oh, Wilfred says I have a real eye.
And where does Dermot come into all this?
Well, although I'm his mother, I do think he's very good looking.
Although I'm his wife, I quite agree with you.
Well, he would be a great asset to a business such as this.
I see.
Wilfred's sure it will prove to be a gold mine. And with my flair for tracking down treasures...
I'm sorry, Edwina. I just don't see Dermot among all those shell flower arrangements. He'd break the glass domes.
He wouldn't be just an employee. He'd be a partner.
You mean you'd expect him to put money into it?
Well, yes.
But he hasn't... Oh, I see. You'd want me to invest in it.
If you just talk to Wilfred, I'm sure his enthusiasm would infect
you. It's Dermot I must talk to.
Of course, my dear.
We like to make our own plans, you see.
Well, I wouldn't want you to think I was interfering.
It's good of you to be so concerned, Edwina.
Then he'd push himself. He's an excellent war record, a DFC. I mean, if he just mentioned that.
He doesn't like to talk about the war.
I thought that when he married her...
I'm not blaming you, of course. We're very happy as we are, Edwina. There's no need for you to worry.
Perhaps we should begin luncheon. Didn't you say you had to be at the hairdresser's?
I'm sorry, Edwina. I've been a disappointment.
Not at all.
I'll tell Dermot, of course.
It's a very nice suit you're wearing, dear. Where did you get it?
Oh, nowhere grand. A little shop in Denham.
Tudor tea rooms. Is it real, do you think, or pretend?
The lump on my head is real enough.
They were tiny, weren't they, the Elizabethans? You would have been a giant.
A blind giant, I'm afraid. There were no magic spectacles then.
What is the matter with your eyes?
I have unilateral amblyopia. In other words, I'm short-sighted.
Like most of the people round here, they can't see past the end of their noses.
I'm so glad you came with me, Louisa. Buying presents was never my strong suit.
I enjoyed it.
You have what my landlady would call a lovely choice. My sister will be delighted.
I don't know anything about your family.
Oh, we're ordinary enough. My mother tends to be possessive. I'm the only son, you see.
Our house is hell.
Oh, no, surely.
Everyone at sixes and sevens. My mother and her new husband are always dashing out to pubs. Tom chases after women and racehorses. It wasn't like this when Father was alive.
You should be glad your mother's found someone.
I think she married him because she was jealous of Tom.
I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure she married for love, as most people do.
He's 10 years younger than her.
It can be very lonely for women when the job of bringing up children is over.
I'll tell you what I think. I think she was in love with him even before Father died. She was always excited when he came to the house.
Oh, no, surely.
Father didn't like him. I know that for certain.
Now, you're exaggerating.
I wouldn't mind so much if she were happy. But she's not. One minute she's all gay and giggling. The next she looks pinched up and miserable, just like she did when Father was ill. I don't think children should have to worry about their parents. I don't think it's fair.
She's at a difficult age. You must try not to judge.
She tries to make me grow up all the time. She even tries to make me drink.
Some daughters would be glad of that.
One minute I'm being sent to bed early. The next I'm told to wear face powder and drink sherry. If you ask me, her moral attitude is completely haywire.
We must pray for her.
She's condescending about my religion, too. Nice time at church, dear, she says. Not that she cares.
Yes. Indifference is hard to bear.
Dermot used to be a Catholic.
Did he indeed?
If I were a Catholic, I'd probably be a nun.
You'd better be careful. Remarks like that can land you in hot water.
It would serve Mother right.
But you're not going to be a nun, are you? You're going to be a great church worker.
Am I?
Saturday's jumble sale. Will you help me?
I'd love to.
The vicar's entrusted it to me. That's about all he does entrust me with, I'm afraid.
I think it's wicked you not being allowed to preach sermons. What's wrong with being high church, anyway?
According to the vicar, a very great deal.
My mother wouldn't even know what elevating the host means.
As I'm afraid with most of my parishioners.
Doesn't it worry you, everyone being so critical?
I'm scared to death.
It's hard to see what a jumble cell has to do with religion.
You're right. And I am scared of them. Mrs. Shotover, Miss Buckley, the postmistress. They found me out, you see. My heart's not at home in this place. Too much is wrong.
That's how I feel.
Then I have one friend, at least.
You must come to dinner, will you? Saturday night, after the jumble cell. Oh, please say you'll come.
I'll be glad to, Louisa. Thank you.
I don't know who will be there. Tom, I think, and his girlfriend.
I'll look forward to it.
Dermot will try and get you drunk.
Now, that really would give the vicar something to talk about.
And Mother will make some silly excuse about why she never comes to church.
You mustn't worry, Louisa. I'll be there as your friend. And I shall enjoy it. I always enjoy meals that my landlady hasn't cooked.
Top of the morning to you, Mrs. Meacock.
Oh, it's a grand one, sir. I'll say that for it. Makes you think of holidays.
I've been looking at the mushrooms.
Doing well, are they?
Coming along nicely.
Smell that. Mint. Mm. Just the thing for new potatoes, though my American employers preferred caraway seeds.
Very nice.
I've been trying to decide on a title for my book. 5001 Witty and Humorous Sayings doesn't sound quite right, somehow.
I thought it was to be a travel book.
My problem is prolixity. Mm. Having too much, you see. I've been a collector all my life.
I'm sure you're sorted out, Mrs. Meacock. You always do.
Perhaps if I were to arrange the material chronologically, in order of time, that is.
Talking of time...
Busy day, is it?
Hmm. Did Mrs. Heron tell you I won't be in for lunch?
Right you are.
Someone I have to see. If this mushroom business takes off.
Mm. Well, we'll have the rissoles, since it's just ladies.
Well, madam, how is it kept?
Mm, so-so. I found some grey hairs at the front.
A rinse would give a more uniform colour.
You don't think I should dye it?
Oh, no, there's no need to go that far. Just a rinse to bring out the copper highlights.
How much would it cost?
12 and 6.
Very well.
Amanda, get madam washed, will you?
Right we are, madam. If you'd just come across to the base.
There he goes again. No acceleration, that's the trouble. You just won't believe me, will you, Kate? It's dangerous to drive a car with no acceleration.
Yours affectionately, Ethel. My dear Gertrude, imagine me sitting in my room, all my dear familiar things around me, knowing that soon you will be here and we can talk. I've so much to tell you I don't really know where to start. Things, chez nous, seem to have gone from bad to worse. Lou is home and quite shockingly neglected, poor girl. My niece has gone up to London today to see Dermot's mother. Dermot, meanwhile, has driven off to a pub. As for Tom, he's grown quite reckless and out of hand. Only this morning he was talking as if he wanted to give up his job, if you please. Can you imagine what Alan would have had to say about that? I don't mind telling you, Gertrude, I fear for the outcome of all this. Kate's mood is one of permanent distraction. She never gets up before 9, drinks at lunchtime as well as in the evenings. I'm fond of Dermot, as you know, but I'm very much afraid she's bought him for herself with the money Alan left her. Not that I'm denying there's love there, physical love in any event. But what happens when that starts to wear off, as it must, by its very nature? Marriage isn't all bed, let's face it. Between you and me, Gertrude, I give this marriage 5 years at the most.
Time, gentlemen, please.
It's the commuters I feel sorry for, trundling back and forth to London every day. Wouldn't catch me doing that. Commuting jackasses, that's what I call them. Come on, Paul, there's time enough. One for the road, what do you say?
I'm sorry, sir. We're closing.
Not too bad for our first scamper. We'll be better with practice.
It's the chords I have trouble with. I can't seem to find the right notes.
I thought you played very well, dear. It's all right, Dermot. It's safe to come in. Did we keep you out with our cacophony?
I've been to fetch Kate from the station.
Aunt Ethel, come and have a look. You can see Windsor Castle clear as day.
Sherry, Ethel.
Isn't it a little early?
Ask Lou to tell us when the sun's dropped over the yard arm.
Well, perhaps the tiniest drop.
Father always said you could date the beginning of spring from the day the castle got clear of the mist.
I don't know why you hang on to that old telescope. It's worse than useless.
The view, Dermot dear. Our view, Alan used to say.
There you are.
Thank you, dear.
Do come, Aunt Ethel. You can see the war memorial, too.
Oh, can you?
Mummy, the castle's come back.
So I gathered.
The usual, darling.
Thank you. The cherry orchards are coming into blossom. Look, dear.
Oh, that reminds me. The shed door. We must all be careful not to open it. If the light gets into those mushrooms, I'll lose the lot.
And how was your trip to London, Kate, dear?
Exhausting. I always feel self-conscious in the city. A country woman come to town.
Your hair looks funny. Have you had it done?
I think it looks very nice.
Thank you.
There you are, darling. My cure-all.
What did you do today, Lou? Don't suppose you thought to tidy your room.
I'll do it tomorrow.
You seem to have accumulated some extraordinary stuff. I mean, what do you want with an ear trumpet? Not to mention all those public notices. No trespassing, no alcohol to be sold to persons under 18.
I should feel pretty silly without them.
Did you steal them or what?
As a matter of fact, Dermot got me the one about alcohol, and he's promised me another very special one from a gentleman's lavatory.
I see.
I'm so sorry, Lou. I didn't ask what you wanted.
I don't drink.
Where's Tom? Didn't I hear his car?
He's making himself irresistible for Ignathia.
I've had a letter from Araminta. She's coming back.
Who's Araminta?
My friend Dorothea's daughter. I've told you about her.
What's she coming back for?
She's finished school. Where else would she go?
Is Charles coming back too?
Yes. His job in Bahrain has come to an end.
What did she have to go to France for anyway? Aren't English schools good enough?
It was what Dorothea wanted.
You still miss her, don't you?
She was my greatest friend.
I remember seeing you two together at May Aspley's. It was the first time we met. I was quite jealous.
That's silly.
Now, Lou.
You acted as if you were sharing a secret, something the rest of us weren't going to be let in on.
I don't want Minty to come back. She'll talk French all the time and make me feel stupid.
Ah, Tom. Time for a quick one.
The Ignathia will sulk if I'm late.
All the more reason.
Right. I've just been telling the others, Tom. The Thorntons are coming back.
What for?
This is their home. They're our next-door neighbours.
I don't like seeing houses shut up. They make me feel sad.
I'll go over tomorrow. Give it a good airing.
And how was the great dictator today, or didn't he deign to notice you?
Well, I was a welfare state delinquent for most of the morning. By lunchtime, I'd become a spoon-fed dilettante. Tomorrow I'll probably be a teddy boy, or possibly a GI, depending on my haircut.
You shouldn't talk that way about your grandfather.
Well, it's you he's cross with, Mother, not me. He's going to phone you, invite himself to dinner.
Oh, dear.
Well, at least I talked to the old boy.
In my day, it was considered polite to wait to be asked.
I suppose we shall have to have him.
I don't know how you stand it, Tom. He seems to think he owns you.
You see, Mother, what a bad influence your new husband is.
Well, I've had a lovely day. I wrote to my friend Gertrude.
Isn't she coming to stay near here?
Market Swanford, the end of next week. I can't wait.
Oh, good God, look at the time.
Mustn't keep the Infanta waiting.
Don't be late, Tom. You've got to work in the morning.
Yes, I know. Mustn't look shagged for the great man.
I'm sure that word meant something improper when I was young.
If it did, Mother dear, how come you knew it?
Tom, you didn't say. How did you get on today?
Came in fourth.
Oh, well, never mind. Better luck next time.
Don't drive too fast, Tom. Please.
Bye, all.
Well, time for another, I think. What do you say, Ethel? This was a good idea of yours, darling. You sure the bird in hand is where you want to go?
So long as it's away from Ethel's cello.
It always seems to take longer at night. Have you noticed? Damn thing.
It's been doing that for years.
One day it'll just stop, give up the ghost in the middle of the road and leave you stranded.
I'm used to it. There have been so many changes in my life. It's nice to have one thing that stayed the same.
It's not as if you can't afford it, darling Kate. By the way, remind me to tell Tom about that shed door.
Right.
Be ashamed to lose everything after all my hard work.
Dermot, please don't be angry. I promised your mother I'd tell you.
I wondered what you two had been hatching.
She wants you to go and work for Lord Auden.
That old faggot.
I told her we like to make our own plans.
Did you now? And what exactly did Lord Auden and my mother have in mind?
They want you to go into partnership. Victoriana. It's your mother's latest hobby.
I do not like to be kept waiting. I have told you this.
I said I'm sorry.
Your fellow countrymen have not nice manners. I was, how do you say, whistled at. You find that amusing?
Well, it's the stockings, you see. Well, that colour red. I mean, you can't exactly miss them.
Yeah.
Here we are. Thank you.
Oh, I like your smoked salmon.
Well, that's something.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thank you, for now.
And I like you.
Good.
I'm better than I like other English persons. My employers, for example. They are very... What is your word for your grandfather? Stingy.
Stingy?
Stingy. Yesterday, for instance, they had a party. I think you call it a cocktail party. It was not very gay. Hmm. The guests arrived at 6 and they were all gone by 8. All the men drank too much. Englishmen always do drink too much. And some of them even pinched me. So rude. That would never happen in my country. I had to serve the taps.
Yes, I sold
canapé. Everyone thought it was caviar, but it was not. It was all in control.
That's all Dermot Herring.
Dermot Herring.
Saw him at Entry not so long ago. It was fairly high at the time.
I never saw him when he wasn't.
Oh, by the way, he's married. Did you know? About a year ago.
My God. You know, I'd have laid odds he'd never marry.
Hope she's got plenty of money.
She's made. Who is she, do you know?
My mother.
I was not aware that I had addressed you, young man.
You didn't.
In my day, listening to other people's conversation was considered a bit off.
So, Matthew, you didn't enjoy the party?
The height of rudeness.
Absolutely.
How about some champagne?
Are we celebrating?
Well, the night is young.
Can you afford it?
Wait a...
For you, dear lady, nothing is too expensive.
Take a strong line, that's what I say. Why should a bunch of non-conformist troublemakers be allowed to hold the rest of the population to ransom?
I didn't realize it was a religious issue.
All issues are religious, my dear lady.
I think what my husband means is that if the strike goes on, there won't be any fish in the shops.
I still don't see.
Catholics eat fish on Friday.
Oh, are you a Roman Catholic, Mr. Herring?
I blame the government. If they brought in the troops, there would never have been this trouble in the first place.
Well, they do have rights, you know, the strikers.
Is that so?
I wouldn't want to have to live on their wages.
And the rest of us, what are we supposed to do? Sit back and watch them cripple the country? I wouldn't mind so much if they were prepared to do an honest day's work.
Dermot, darling, perhaps we should think about getting back.
10 years ago, we were fighting a war.
You and Mr. Herring must come over for a drink, mustn't they, Harry?
Yes, of course. You know where we are.
One of the pack, are you, Harry? Musical evenings, church on Sundays, season tickets on the GWR.
We really must be going. It's been so nice seeing you again.
We'd heard you'd remarried.
And you must come to us. Charles Thornton and his daughter are coming back. We must have a reunion.
The return of the Thorntons. What could be better? It'll be just like old times.
No.
Come on, Ignatia, don't be a spoilsport.
I think you are very immoral.
You didn't object last time.
You think because you gave me dinner...
I thought you liked it.
The dinner or this?
So perhaps you'd rather not come on Saturday night, then?
Oh, but I like very much to come to your house.
My grandfather will be there.
Then perhaps I will find that he is a gentleman. In my country, we are taught that all Englishmen are gentlemen. I have not found this to be true.
All I said was...
Don't get spoiled, Dermot, please.
It was your idea to go out, as I remember.
I thought we were going to be on our own.
They're your friends.
Acquaintances. Anyway, what does it matter what they think?
I'd rather you stab me in the back than condescend it to me.
I'm not given to stabbing people in the back.
No, you are different from your friends.
Ah, Kate and Dermot. That just leaves Tom. Now what are they doing? Goodness. Can't they leave that till they're inside? I expect they both had too much to drink. No wonder Kate looks so exhausted.
I'm afraid it's even worse than we thought. Mrs. Heron Sr. has invited herself as well. That was her on the phone.
Then we'll have to do some switching around. Sirloin will never feed that number.
Not the way the master carves.
Shall I get a turkey? I saw some in the village.
Shan't have time for plucking and drawing.
They were already trussed.
Then I wouldn't want to answer for it, I'm afraid.
Oh. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I've got to go over to the Thorntons now. I'll be back in time for lunch.
Right you are.
Did you work on the book yesterday? It was such a lovely day. I thought you might take your paper into the garden.
What's the use of it? What's the point? Those are the questions that torment me.
Oh, but surely...
I put it down to the time of the year. Spring is always unsettling.
Room. Still yours, Dorothea. It always will be yours. The spoils of Poynton. Alan's engagement present to me. Might have known it would be here. You were always a bad returner, Dorothea. Who is so safe as we when none can do treason to us except one of us two? To Kate from Alan, April the 7th, 1931. Oh, I miss you. I miss you both.
Your father-in-law was just telling me, Kate, about some wonderful shares he had a tip for.
I had information from my broker.
I do think you're clever, Sir Alfred. I know nothing about business.
Sorry about this, everyone. The butler's night off.
The Thorntons are coming back, Father. You remember Charles, don't you?
Well, of course I remember Charles. He's at school with Alan.
He's been in Bahrain.
Sound fellow. Sad about his wife. A nice woman, as I recall.
We're all agog for his return, aren't we, Kate?
Daughter had a silly name. What was it?
Araminta.
It's an amusing child.
Yes.
I understand you're from Spain.
You speak Spanish?
A little. Un poco.
Un poco. Luisa, dear, you must tell me about your jumble sale. I'm very cross with Dermot for not mentioning it to me. I'm sure I found something of interest.
Old boots and corsets. There wasn't much else.
Most people wouldn't recognise a treasure if they saw one.
What's the matter with your voice, Ludia?
I've got a cold coming.
And a sty, by the look of you.
Louisa's done Johnny, sterling work. I don't know what we would have done without her.
And you, Dermot, dear, what have you been up to? Tending your mushrooms?
No such luck, I'm afraid. Someone must have left the door open. I lost the lot.
Lord Freddy, sir.
Pues sí, los ingleses no son corteses. Me dijeron que todos los ingleses son caballeros. Y no chef.
Bueno, siento que piense así.
No. Well, what are you two jabbering about?
I have been saying that what we learn at home about Englishmen is not true. They are not all gentlemen.
Gentlemen? Oh, is that so? And might I ask on what particular Englishman you base this judgment? Not my grandson, I hope.
You should say British, dear. Otherwise you give offence to the Scots. English, British, what does it matter? I'm sure Tom is the perfect gentleman.
Thank you.
More wine, everyone.
Not for me, thank you.
Thank you.
So do you actually live in the country?
All right, darling.
I wish I could get drunk.
I did travel one time.
Lou, dear, I think everyone's finished. Perhaps you'd start clearing the plates.
Thank you. My daughter-in-law was telling me about this little shop idea of yours.
What is it, Mrs. Meacock? Is something wrong?
It's the turkey. I don't like the smell of it.
Oh, dear.
I told you I couldn't trust it. It doesn't seem too bad.
Oh, what's that smell?
You see? What did I tell you?
Well, we can't do anything about it now. I'll tell Dermot to give the breast to Edwina and Alfred.
The rest will just have to take their chance.
I don't see why Father Blizzard should have the bad bits. He's a guest too.
I'm sorry, darling. Perhaps we should give him the parson's nose. Oh. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. The only person who seemed to enjoy it was poor Father Blizzard.
Grateful for small mercies, I expect.
No great meat eater, I'm afraid. Oh, poor Alfred, it was so humiliating.
What does it matter? Who cares what he thinks? Who cares what anyone thinks, come to that?
We should go away. A second honeymoon. We didn't really have one the first time around.
I thought we had a very nice one.
I'm tired of being watched all the time.
Darling Kate, you do exaggerate. Do you think I should grow a moustache?
Your mother would like it. Would make you look more military.
You sure you won't have some of this?
I'd rather have the hangover. I am worried about Lou. Just don't seem to be able to reach her.
She's all right. Bit smitten with that priest chappy, but she'll get over it. Ethel thinks she should go on a course of yeast.
It's terrible having daughters, wanting so much for them and not being able to protect them.
She's 16, Kate. You can't keep her in the nest forever.
Once upon a time, I thought I could protect everyone. Now I don't seem to be able to help at all. Even Mrs. Meacock is cross with me.
Well, you'll have the Thornton girl to fuss over now. What's she called again?
Araminta.
For once, I agree with Sir Alfred. It's a damn silly name.
Dorothea found it in a book.
Not anything I've read, I'm glad to say.
They're making a mistake coming back. I'm sure of that. You can't revive the past.
You're worried about Charles, aren't you? What he'll make of me.
Of course not.
Whether I'll measure up or not.
I thought we said we didn't care what people thought.
Well, I don't, for my part.
And neither do I.
Come to bed.
Did you notice the way Edwina kept playing up to Tom? If she weren't my mother-in-law, I'd have sworn she was flirting with him.
She was punishing me for saying no to Lord Orton.
I think she's obsessed with youth. Most people are. Don't you think?
I had a rich acquaintance once who had a bronze statue in his hall. A naiad, I think you call it. It had lovely, tight, clenched buttocks, just like yours.
Oh, you're incorrigible.
I found those buttocks irresistible. They cried out to be classed.
Don't tell me someone saw you.
The butler, actually. Luckily, it was Derby Day.
Why luckily?
Quick as a flash, it came to me. Never say die, I called out to him. That's the one you want for the big race. Thank you, sir, he answered.
And did it win?
Romped all the way home like a child off to a party. One of my more successful days.
I'll be frank with you, Mrs. Meacock. My friend is really very grand and well-connected. We were in Holloway Prison together.
Prison? Now, there is somewhere I've never been.
Oh, it was the place to be in those days, fighting for the vote, you know.
I'll be getting on, then.
You've done an excellent job, Mrs. Meacock. My friend will be most impressed.
I can never understand why Madam doesn't use the best china. It seems such a waste.
My wedding present when she married Alan. There were still pieces of straw between the plates.
I've always liked the rose pattern. It's so refined. My American employers were particularly partial to it.
Not that I'm not grateful to my niece, of course.
When did you say they'd be back?
Oh, tomorrow, I think. A second honeymoon, that's what she called it. Though I did wonder at them going while Louisa is at home.
We haven't heard from them, not even a postcard.
Other things on their minds?
I'm certain it has something to do with the change. I read somewhere that it can lead to a marked increase in sexual activity.
This is a delicious cake, Ethel.
Comes later in a man, of course.
That's sex for you. Good old booby trap and no mistake.
It's the young I feel sorry for. So much stimulation all round them.
The great mammary age. That's what I call it. You can't pick up a newspaper without seeing some minx bursting out of her frock.
I don't think Tom's chaste.
And as for those continental films...
I gather they're very explicit.
Nothing left to the imagination at all.
You mean you actually see?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. You can do a lot with camera angles. But they do say in some cases... Of course, it's the girls who are really caught in the trap. They mature so much earlier these days. 11 or 12, so I'm told.
I was 15.
15 and a half. And I wasn't confirmed till I was 17.
Come in.
Miss Araminta Thornton.
Good heavens!
Aunt Ethel, isn't it?
Minty, my dear, Minty, I'd no idea.
Weren't you expecting me?
Well, not exactly, not today.
Father said he'd written.
Allow me to present my friend, Miss Gertrude DeVoe. We were in Holloway Prison together.
How do you do?
How do you
do? Oh, is that tea? Do you think I could have some? I'm absolutely famished.
I must say, you do look a little undernourished.
It's this dress. I made it myself. Is it too tight, do you think?
It's a...
No such luck. A photographic model.
Oh.
Hello, Tom.
Good God, is that Minty wearing a wig?
You haven't changed at all.
You have. I wondered whose car it was.
Is it in your way?
Oh, not at all.
Tom, Miss DeVoe is here.
Oh, how do you do?
Hello.
Have some tea. There's the most scrummy cake.
I'd rather take you for a drink.
But I want to eat my cake.
Bring it with you.
What do you say, Aunt Ethel? Should I trust myself with this man?
Oh, well, now, dear, you are old friends.
Very well. But just one drink, mind. I want to get the house ready for Father. Goodbye, you two. Thanks for tea.
Goodbye.
Such casual manners they all seem to have these days.
A sexy young piece, I'd call her.
I rather think you're right.
I'd swear she wasn't wearing anything at all under that frock.
Oh, dear. I do hope Tom will behave himself.
Now that they've gone, why don't we have some more of that delicious cake?
Damn. What's the matter with these things? It's me, isn't it? I can't seem to stop shaking. Thank God. They'll have a fire to welcome them, at least.
Oh. Oh, Dorothea. Why does everything look so sad? Oh, damn. Now the wretched thing started smoking. Oh, I should have been here yesterday. What can Minty have thought? Oh, no. They're early. Oh, look at this room. I wanted everything to be perfect.
Kate? Is that you through the smoke?
Oh, Charles, you're early.
Let me look at you.
Hello, Kate. Is the house on fire?
Go and put the kettle on. There's a good girl. You can talk to Kate in the kitchen. Oh, Kate.
Charles.
I'm so glad you're still only 25.
I wasn't going to be here. I thought you'd rather be on your own.
Then I'm glad we arrived early.
I am sorry about the fire.
Don't be. It took my mind off coming into the house again. I think you've managed everything beautifully.
What time did you say they were coming?
7:30.
Then we've time for a top-up.
Did you think Charles had changed, dear? I must say Minty was unrecognisable.
He's still the same Charles. A little greyer.
Darling, how's your glass?
No more, thank you, Dermot.
Nothing for me either, dear, thank you. I've had my ration.
How about you, Tom?
What? Oh, no, thanks.
Well, I must say, we're a sober and godly gathering this evening. Anyone would think it was the vicar coming to call. I'll go.
I think we should all...
I can open the door on my own, Mother.
What's got into Tom? He's not usually so interested in visitors.
We should have stayed away. There's been nothing but turmoil in this house ever since we got back.
And you had such a lovely time, dear. A second honeymoon, Kate said.
Ah, the prodigal returns. Good evening to you, Charles. I may call you Charles?
Dermot, how do you do? We meet at last. And Ethel. Kate, tell me you'd be here. How nice.
Welcome home, Charles. Welcome back to England.
Where's your daughter? I thought she was coming with you.
She'll be along directly. I'm afraid she takes after her mother. Punctuality isn't her strong suit.
Shall I go and fetch her? It'll be dark soon.
Well, heavens know she's a grown woman. Quite able to take care of herself.
Still, might as well.
Your son is quite the gallant, Kate. Dorothea would approve.
It's lovely to be able to talk about Dorothea again. I was afraid if I didn't talk to someone soon, I'd lose her completely.
Does no one round here remember her, then? All our old friends?
I'm afraid we've rather lost touch.
We prefer our own company. You know how it is, old boy. Out with the old, in with the new.
Lou is longing to see you, Charles. She's out delivering newsletters for Father Blizzard, but she'll be here for dinner.
Dear Lou, is she much changed? I do hope not. Minty has grown into such a terrifying creature, I scarcely know what to say to her.
Well, now, what are we all going to drink? This is something of a celebration.
Delicious.
You're a comfort to me, Lou. When I went away, Minty was just like you, a nice English schoolgirl. Now look at her.
Do you remember the day we all went to Windsor Castle and Minty kept pretending to be the queen? Tom got so cross.
I go back to school tomorrow.
Oh, bad
you
luck.
Drive me, Tom.
Don't talk about it, darling. It makes me too sad.
That's a very original dress you're wearing, Minty.
Oh, do you like it? It's called a Chung Sam.
Well, you know, I could circle your neck with just one of my hands.
But I'm too young to die.
I expect it's quite difficult to walk in, isn't it, your Chung Sam?
Oh, walking's no bother. It's just when I want to pass water I'm in trouble.
Oh.
I had to take it right off, you see. I'm bolted in the WC for hours.
How could I forget? We used to say, didn't we, that she reminded us of Mrs. Gerrard.
Who is Mrs. Gerrard?
Oh, in The Spoils of Poynton. It was your father's favourite novel.
I should invite her back, but I can't. The last time she came here, she positively blushed when she saw my varnished cabinet.
What's that? Who did you say blushed?
Mrs. Gerrard.
May Aspley, darling.
Kate and I always thought her so like Mrs. Gerrard.
I never met Mrs. Gerrard. But I know May Aspley. In fact, I have a soft spot for her. She introduced me to my wife.
Ah, really? Can we go out for a drink after this? We could go to that pub on the river.
Oh, no. I start my course in the morning. I intend to be tucked up in bed by 10 o'clock at the latest.
Now, Tom, none of that whispering. What have you been saying to the poor girl?
Is there any more beef? I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
It's been lovely. Thank you both.
I'm so glad to have you back.
And you'll come and listen to my new Vivaldi records? I know you'll like them.
We'd love to, wouldn't we, Dermot? But you must come here.
Oh,
are you musical, Minty? I'm afraid I'm rather a slow starter.
I prefer to dance.
Ah, that's my girl.
Good luck with school, Lou.
Thank you.
When am I going to see you, Minty?
Write to me, Lou. I want to know everything.
Goodbye,
right.
Then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll see you.
All right, Charles.
Up you run, Lou. I'll be along in a minute.
Okay.
Well, what did you think of Charles?
Exactly what I expected. A jolly nice old codger.
Of course it's lovely to have Charles back, but I can't help wondering, Gertrude, where it's all heading. It's been 4 weeks now, and already Tom is obsessed with Minty. But it's Kate I worry about. Naturally, she feels a duty to Charles, her best friend's husband. But at what point does duty become need? And who, I ask myself, is looking after who?
You look like a mourning woman on a tomb.
Charles, what are you doing here?
I brought you these.
Oh, cherries. How nice. Thank you.
Where's Dermot?
Quarrelling with his mother on the phone.
Does he often do that?
At the moment, yes. She will try to get jobs for him.
Aren't you going to have some?
No, no, thank you. I've indulged too much already. Have you heard from Lou?
The usual Sunday letters. Oh, all underlinings and exclamation marks. I get quite breathless reading them.
Minty seems intent on her new career.
I wish you were as keen on Tom.
It's serious, then?
On his part.
I don't understand her at all, Kate. She's like a creature from another planet.
It was such fun when they were little.
Dorothea would have known what to do. Say, I'm afraid I'm all at sea.
I suppose it's inevitable, the pain one feels when one loves. Children, friends. There's always a price to pay, isn't there?
What's that noise?
Tom's invested in a television.
Whatever for?
He's bored. He only wants to be with Minty, and she keeps turning him down.
She's only 18, Kate.
Well, I wish you'd take him away from the television. I object to it more than I can say.
And what about you, Kate? Are you happy?
Oh, yes. Very happy.
That's what I wanted to hear.
You mustn't. It's easy to misjudge Dermot. It's his air of indifference. It antagonizes people.
So long as he makes you happy, Kate, he's the best fellow in the world.
He suffers from melancholy. It goes back a long way. Before the war...
Surely, if he had a job...
Somehow he never felt that he lived up to his father's hopes for him.
He was in Bomber Command, wasn't he?
He was quite extraordinarily brave. Perhaps because of the melancholy. He doesn't think he's worth very much, you see.
It's you I'm concerned about, Kate.
There you are now. In solemn confabulation, I see.
We were just talking about the war.
Were you now? How did that little topic come up?
Kate was telling me...
Did you make your peace with your mother?
Oh, I settled her hash right enough. I let her go on in her usual fashion, then I dropped my bombshell.
What bombshell?
Didn't I tell you? I heard today I'm starting work next week.
Why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to surprise you.
But we haven't discussed it.
What is there to discuss? I bumped into an old friend and he offered me a job. That's all there is to it.
What will you be doing?
Persuading people to take holidays. Not just rich widows, but your ordinary, everyday folk. My friend's got it all worked out. It's the age of the common man. Everyone will be taking holidays soon. The butcher, the baker, everyone.
I just wish you'd said something.
Well... At least you won't have to apologise for me anymore.
I don't apologise
no.
for you.
Then why were you talking about the war?
It just cropped up.
Cropped up? That's a likely story. I can hear you now. You mustn't think too badly of him, Charles. He had rather a grim time of it in the war, don't you know?
It wasn't like that at all.
Personally, I don't give a toss about Charles Thornton or his opinion, so you can stop trying to justify me to him, all right?
If you want to quarrel, why don't you talk to your mother?
I have a better idea. And don't wait up for me. I'm sure to be late.
Oh, Charles. Why aren't you here with me now?
I don't want to rush you, dear, but aren't you going to miss the train?
Dermot hasn't had any breakfast yet.
I thought he didn't take...
Can I get a lift with you, Mother? My car's playing up.
Again?
I'll ask the garage to come out and take a look at it.
Any chance of a cup of tea?
We haven't got much time.
Tom, dear, it's rude to read at the table.
Right, you are.
That looks splendid, Mrs. Meacock.
Ah... Can't have you going to work on an empty stomach.
What are you going to do today, darling? Any plans?
I've an idea about building a patio. I thought I might ask Charles.
If you want to make improvements, you should start with the car.
It's all right, isn't it? It hasn't been playing up.
I don't know what you want with a great thing like that anyway. It isn't as if you need a family car anymore.
It gets us from A to B, as they say.
I wish I could tell you, Gertrude, how much better things are now that Dermot's started working. But the opposite seems to be true. Kate's more and more in the company of Charles, and Dermot, when he gets home in the evening, seems to want to do nothing but sit in front of Tom's television. I'm sure I don't need to tell you what a time waster that is. Though, of course, there are some interesting programmes if one discriminates. I don't know what's troubling Dermot. He's always grumbling about the need for a new car, but I don't think it's that. Yesterday I found him drooling over a magazine photo. When I asked him who it was, he said, "Like Minty, isn't she? Such heavenly long legs."
Nice. Mint, one of the few things unaffected by the blight.
It's that bad.
You look lately.
I'll have a word with Mr. Thornton. He's clever with gardens.
Oh, I've never known a summer like it. It's enough to make you want to fly away.
By the way, did I mention Mr. Thornton will be eating with us tonight?
Rather thought he might.
Anna Minter is going out with Tom.
Oh, we'll have the Vichy soirs. Didn't you say Mr. Thornton likes it?
He dotes on it.
Another musical evening, is it?
Mozart. My favourite of all.
Look at him, Mr. High and Mighty Thornton. Stretched out as if he owns the place. When I close my eyes like that, I'd fall asleep. Kate looks quite transfixed. Her listening expression, it doesn't suit her. It makes her look 20 years older. It must be near the end now, thank God. And Charles has gone. I'll talk to Kate. She can hardly object. Everyone wants to invest in the travel business these days. Mary, Mother, it can't be starting again. This is torture. I wish I was watching television. Or out with Tom. Wherever he is.
What took you so long?
I had to leave a note for Daddy.
Why? Well, he's over at our place, isn't he?
In case we're late back. It'll worry him. Poor Daddy.
Why poor?
How would you like to be old?
Is he old?
And lonely. And knowing everything's happened. And none of it's been any great shakes either. Shall we go? The film starts at 8. I'm so sorry the music bored you.
Sorry for me, don't you mean?
How is London today? We haven't had a chance to talk.
Hot and sweaty.
Are you busy?
Never been busier.
Did that woman come back?
What woman?
The rich widow. You said you were going to pack her off to Bermuda.
Oh, yes, all taken care of.
Lou will be home next week. Long summer holidays.
Splendid. You'll like that.
Perhaps we'll see a little more of Tom. Minty's always been very fond of Lou.
Kate?
Yes, darling?
I've been meaning to ask you. If it were to arise, the possibility, I mean, would you be interested in investing in the travel business? My friend is keen to expand.
Why don't we talk about it another time?
If you like.
It's so hot.
It's just that I did mention...
Let's talk to Charles about it.
Why Charles?
He knows about those boring things. Why don't I come up and meet your friend? You could take me out to lunch.
I don't think that would be a very good idea.
Why ever not?
I'm rather expected to work in my lunch hour. Clients, you know.
What are we going to do about the car?
Leave it where it is. I'll walk you home.
You haven't got anything to eat, have you? The film's made me very hungry.
I don't know how you stay so thin.
Perhaps I have worms. What are you doing?
You can sit on my jacket, in case the grass is damp.
If I sit down, my dress will split.
You promised. Is it serious?
I told you it would happen.
How many other men have made love to you?
Absolutely none, I swear.
I don't believe you.
Suit yourself.
I can't even bear for Dermot to look at you.
Being looked at is part of my job. Oh, blast!
Oh, I'm sorry.
You could undo it.
What?
Take it off.
You sure? Right.
Wouldn't it be dreadful if someone came? Mm. Could one be sent to prison? We used to come here for picnics when we were children.
Oh, Minty.
You mustn't mess my hair, though. It's got to stay in this shape for 3 whole days.
Right. You're not cold, are you?
Warm as toast.
I'm afraid he's gone.
It won't do, Kate. You love me. I'm going to take you to bed.
No.
Is it time?
No. Go back to sleep.
What time is it?
You've hours yet. Dermot, are you asleep? Hello?
Charles here. Are you busy?
Yes. Well, no, not exactly. Why?
Can we go for a walk? I want to ask your advice about something.
I haven't even made the beds.
Tell Mrs. Meacock you won't be back for lunch.
What's the matter with me? It was only a dream.
Let's sit here. We can see right across the valley.
Dorothea and I used to come here with the children.
I wanted to talk to you about Tom and Minty.
I rather thought you might.
That was some fine old hour she came in this morning.
Tom's car really did break down. You saw it yourself.
Well, quite.
Charles, darling, I'm sure it's all right. Tom is most terribly in love with her. He'd never do anything that hurt her.
She was as waspish as could be this morning. All I could think was, Dorothea would have known what to do about it.
We were young once, too, remember? Someone's been here before us. Look. A hair grip. Have you heard from the company? When your leave's over, will they send you somewhere else?
I don't know.
It's so peaceful here.
I hope this is all right.
Charles, it's lovely. You've thought of everything.
Are you all right, Kate? You look tired.
I didn't sleep very well.
I'm afraid there's only one glass. The other's broken.
We can share it.
You first.
Thank you.
Isn't it some kind of pledge when you drink from the same glass? Now my lips have touched yours.
Poor Dermot. Stuffed up in London.
I'm afraid we rather bore him with our music.
How long will it look like this, do you think? An unbroken view all the way to the river.
Not for much longer if the developers get their way.
Why is change so frightening? Dermot thinks I'm a terrible old fuddy-duddy. I can't even make the decision to buy a new car.
Do you need one?
He thinks so.
Out with the old. Isn't that his philosophy?
Perhaps it would be different if I were religious.
Aren't you?
Only in a vague sort of way.
Imagine those fields covered in bungalows. Row upon row of identical houses. I don't think religion would console me for that.
Do you ever ask yourself if it's worth it?
If what's worth it, Kate?
The daily round. The common task.
What else is there?
Dear Charles, how like you to say that.
It all depends, doesn't it, on who you're making the journey with.
I suppose it does.
You remember what we used to say? You and Alan, Dorothea and me. We were the lucky ones.
Thank you.
Minty!
What are you doing here?
Waiting for you. Hello, Dermot.
John.
Dermot and I travel together every day now.
Minty spends the entire time eating. Yesterday it was bread and honey. Today it was liver sausage and the most disgusting smelling cheese.
I thought we might have a drink.
Oh, darling, I couldn't possibly. I'm far too much of a broken reed.
How much longer are they going to be?
I told them you wanted to change.
Can't they do it while I'm at work?
Lou's only just got back. She's been helping Father Blizzard again.
I could do with a drink. The Spoils of Poynton. Is that what you're reading?
It's been sitting there for ages. I found it at Dorothea's.
Who is so safe as we, where none can do treason to us, except one of us two?
Young people were all like that in my heyday. When Lavender was twopence a bunch, you know.
Perhaps I should read it. I need something to pass the time.
I thought you were very busy.
On the train. You know how I hate commuting.
Dermot, I've been thinking. The car. You're right. We should get a new one. You could be independent then. Drive yourself to the station.
Can we afford it?
Well, now that you're working...
I shouldn't want to do anything you can't afford.
Didn't you say you saw one the other day, a special offer or something?
Oh, that.
You saw it in town, didn't you?
It was a Jaguar, the latest model, marvellous acceleration.
Isn't that what you want?
As a matter of fact, it was rather a bargain. A demonstration model, well below the listed price.
Then it's worth considering, isn't it?
I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you've raised the subject... I'll talk it over with Charles.
The Spoils of Poynton by Henry James. Preface. I can skip that. Chapter 1. Right, here we go then. Mrs. Garrett had said she would go with the rest to church. Mrs. Garrett? And when have I heard that name before?
Mrs. Garrett.
May Aspley, darling.
Kate and I always thought her so like Mrs. Garrett.
Damn the man. Damn him to hell. I'll not be made a fool of in my own house.
There you are.
Minty, I thought you'd miss the train.
And Johnny nearly did.
You must have my seat.
Why don't we share it?
You may be a stick insect, as you keep telling me, but I'm afraid I'm made of more solid stuff.
It's awfully good of you, Dermot.
My pleasure.
I have a hideous day today, modelling nightdresses for a trousseau. You should see them, honestly. They're not alluring at all. More like the sort of thing you'd wear in your coffin. Well, now that you've seen what I do for a living, you can take me out to tea.
Right, then.
There's a place round the corner that makes the most scrumptious scones. By the way, I saw Dermot this morning.
What, on the train?
No, I always see him on the train. This was later, in Kew Gardens. I had a photo call there.
What was he doing in Kew Gardens? Well, his office is in Bond Street.
That's what I wondered.
Well, did you speak to him?
He didn't look as if he wanted to be disturbed.
What was he doing?
Sitting on a bench. He was fast asleep.
Look at me now. Aren't I the lucky one, surrounded by beautiful women?
Really, Dermot, you are a tease.
Don't you agree, Minty, anyone might take Ethel for my daughter?
Yes, after supper. Can I go for a while, Mother? I have to deliver something for Father Blizzard.
But you've been doing that all day, dear.
No one else does anything to help him.
What is his crime, exactly? He seems to be in hot water with everyone.
He elevates the host.
That'll do, Tom.
Drink up, everyone. Mrs. Meacock has done us proud this evening. Not an English dish to be seen.
No more, thank you.
Why ever not?
I've had enough.
Enough, my dear Kate, is when you hear the little click in your head. Have you heard it yet? You don't look as if you have.
Please, Dermot.
I'm in hot water, you see. Late home.
It doesn't matter.
Not supposed to hang on at the office. Bad form, that. Not the thing to work late.
You weren't at the office. You were on the usual train with Minty.
Was I now? Well, I'll be blowed.
She told me you'd had a drink together.
So sir. That's the way the wind blows.
No one told me.
It really doesn't matter. I should never have mentioned it.
Well, I hope you didn't drive Minty home, Dermot.
What if I did?
Well, you're a maniac in that new car of yours.
It seems to me it might be better if I collected my daughter from the station. Till her car's fixed, anyway.
I can do it.
Really, Daddy, this is too silly. Dermot and I are always on the same train. Anyway, I like going in his car. It's fun. You don't mind, do you, Kate?
Of course not.
But I do.
What?
Charles, don't.
What did you say?
Look, I've nothing else to do. Surely I can meet my own daughter off the train.
Wasn't that Mrs. Meacock?
I'll tell you what. We'll let Minty decide. Minty, since you're the cause of the argument, you must settle it. Who's it to be? Tom, your father, or my humble self?
No, Dermot. I won't let you. This has gone far enough.
It's not your affair, darling Kate.
It's my house.
Oh, my house, is it?
Oh, you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Your house, your car, your safe, suburban life.
Now, look here.
Smug. That's what you are, the pair of you. Bloody smug. It's written all over your faces.
My dear Gertrude, your invitation has come just in the nick of time. Things since my last letter have gone from bad to worse. In fact, I'm quite worn out with pouring oil on troubled waters. Ever since that terrible evening 2 weeks ago, when Dermot publicly insulted Kate, the atmosphere has been intolerable. Only Tom has been bold enough to mention the subject directly. Perhaps because he has troubles of his own, poor boy, and can't bear to see his mother similarly afflicted. That affair, by the way, is headed straight for disaster. Tom lavishes presents on Minty, but seems to get nothing in return. Not that I advocate immorality, but there's a cold and calculating virginity about the girl which does not augur well. As for Lou, she's in mourning for Father Blizzard. He's resigned his curacy, and rumour has it is to become a Catholic priest. So much for love's young dream.
Thank you for coming. The Harvest Festival. My very last chore.
I suppose everyone is being very difficult.
I think the vicar is relieved. He keeps going on about dictates of conscience, you know?
I won't want to come here after you've gone.
Nonsense. You can't disappoint these good women. They see you as a great parish worker.
I'm far too scared of them to be that.
When do you go back to school?
Monday.
Then we might not see each other. Oh, by the way, I bought this for you. A souvenir. Because you have been my kind confidant.
Oh. Oh, but it's lovely. It's the same as a bracelet you bought for your sister.
I knew you liked it. After all, you chose it, didn't you?
I shall wear it always.
You don't have to do that.
Oh, but I shall. I shall wear it secretly, even at school. I won't let anyone take it from me. Ever.
Whiskey, please, barman. A double.
Don't you think you've had enough, sir?
I'll be the gauge of that, young man.
Very good, sir.
Tell her I'm sorry. That's the thing. We can't keep on like this.
That'll be 1 and 10, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If I thought it would do any good, I'd get down on my knees and pray.
So, madam, how has it been?
I don't know. I'm tired of the way I look. Can you do something?
The sun's played havoc with my client's hair this summer.
You can make me as different as you please. Dye me blonde or raven black or auburn. I don't care, just so long as it's different.
Ah. Bring madam the shade card, will you, Amanda?
He's tired of me. That's the trouble. Otherwise this stupid quarrel would have ended long ago.
You can open your eyes now. Well, what do you think? The bouffant effect quite changes the shape of the face. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes.
This colour's all the rage now, you know.
Isn't it rather purple?
Dramatic, Mrs. Heron. It's the look for autumn winter. I'm sure your husband will be delighted.
How can I face Edwina? I look an absolute fright. At least no one's actually staring at me. What would Dermot say? He can't possibly like it. Oh, Dermot, darling, I did it to please you. We must be friends again. I think a drink, don't you? It's a bit late for tea.
Don't it look too dreadful? I'm afraid I've made a terrible mistake.
Not at all, dear. I'm a great believer in change, as you know.
Perhaps I should phone Dermot, warn him.
He's meeting you off the train, you see?
We had hoped to travel down together.
Why? Has he been in London too?
Well, of course. It's a working day.
So, Dermot comes up to London every day, does he?
You know he does.
What is it, Edwina? Is something wrong? I don't see why he should be allowed to make a fool of you.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry, my dear. I'm sure he meant to tell you, only he felt too ashamed.
Are you telling me that there's no job?
There hasn't been for some weeks now. Apparently, Dermot was taken on the understanding that he'd invest some capital.
How do you know all
this? He came to me. Naturally, I refused. I don't have money to play around with, as he well knows.
Why didn't he ask me?
I found out about his dismissal quite by chance. I called him one day to see if we might have lunch.
I'm sorry, Edwina. I can't take this in.
I blame myself. I am
his mother.
I don't
see how it can be your fault.
Women have always
spoiled him. If anyone's to blame...
Look, perhaps if he kept up with his religion...
I'm sorry. I must go.
Of course, my dear. I understand. It's been a shock for you.
I can't bear it that he couldn't tell me, that he was too ashamed.
I'm sure he's been looking for other jobs. His days in London won't have been wasted.
Goodbye, Edwina.
He does love you, Kate.
I know.
Mother?
Tom! Why are you here? Where's Dermot?
Kate, has something happened?
I'm afraid there's awfully bad news. I rang up Edwina and she said you'd left.
There's been an accident. Dermot, you mustn't think it's without hope, dear. He's a young man still and the young healed quickly.
Is he in hospital?
Market Swanford. I'll get you there as quickly as possible.
But Market Swanford's miles away. What's wrong with him? Do you know?
They can't really tell, dear. Not till they've operated. Charles is over there already.
Charles?
Minty was with Dermot.
Minty? Why? Were they going somewhere?
Tickets, please.
I don't understand. Where were Dermot and Minty going?
Just a drive, I expect, dear. You know how Minty loved that car of Dermot's.
But she had her own car.
There's no point speculating. Let's just get over there, shall we? The emergency ward, can you tell us where it is?
First on the right, sir. You can't miss it.
I feel sick. Bear up, dear. At least we'll know.
Can I help you?
Are you the ward sister?
That's right.
I'm Tom Wedgwood. This is my mother, Mrs. Heron. We've come to inquire about
you. Yes. I've been expecting you.
We've been sent to her because he's dead. She's used to breaking bad news.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Heron. I'm afraid he's gone.
What did you say?
It was just half an hour ago. There was nothing we could do.
It'll be light soon. How many hours have I been sitting here? Poor Ethel. This was to have been the first day of our holiday.
Can I make you some tea, madam?
Thank you.
You should have taken those pills, you know. It's not right you sit near all alone.
No pills, Mrs. Meacock. I'd rather not sleep. If you sleep, you have to wake up.
If only morning would come. I've been here all night.
I don't think anyone's going to come, do you? I think they've forgotten all about us.
It's a good sign, isn't it, that they asked us to wait?
She looks so young.
Couldn't we go and find someone?
The surgeon won't be back till 9.
I wish I knew how to pray. I wish I thought it would do any good.
Dermot? Dermot, darling. There was so much I wanted to say to you. I was angry at first. All I could think about was, what were you doing? Where were you going with Minty? But I'm not angry now. Just sorry. Oh, Dermot, I'm so terribly, terribly sorry.
I never thought I'd be glad Dorothea is dead. But when that nurse came in...
I really thought she was going to make it. I thought if she lasted the night...
Poor Tom. It's hardest for you. You have all your life ahead of you.
It's all over then. Now the worst time begins. We haven't started on it yet.
I have this. Dermot's briefcase.
The spoils of Poynton. You didn't get very far. Tom?
Leave him. There's nothing you can do.
Oh, Charles. How will we get through it? I don't know that I can bear it a second time. Poor Tom. Oh, oh, poor Tom. Oh, what a comfort. Oh, my dear Gertrude, you'll be wanting to know about the wedding. Well, it took place quietly today, almost a year since the accident. Little did we think then that this was how things would turn out. But it's a far more suitable match than the other.
So long as you both shall live.
I will.
Catherine, Georgina, Harry.
It was a simple ceremony, just Tom and Lou and myself. Kate insisted anything else would be quite inappropriate. After all, I heard her say to Charles, who wants to look at a grey-haired bride?
Keep dealing up with him, so long as you both shall.
I will. Lou, I'm happy to say, seems to be quite recovered from her peakishness of last summer. Her curate friend has gone, but seems to have left no permanent scars. Tom, though, is another matter. I fear his wounds go very deep. I must say I was surprised at Kate. She has no belief, as you know, but she managed her vows, as she manages most things, with an air of complete calm.
I pronounce that they be man and wife together, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Happy?
Very.
You look lovely, Mummy, doesn't she, Charles?
Perfect.
Congratulations, Charles.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for giving me away, darling.
My pleasure, Mother.
Dear Tom.
Come on, Mrs. Thornton. Your carriage awaits.
Good luck, Mrs. Thornton.
All right,
darling. Bye.
Aren't you glad it's going to be just us?
Oh, Tom. You're still breathing, aren't you?
His sadness can't be forever.
The part of Kate was played by Anne Bell. Dermot by Roger Allam. Charles, Geoffrey Whitehead. Tom, Stephen Tomkinson. Louisa, Francesca Buller. Araminta, Susanna Harker. Mrs. Meacock, Joe Kendall. Aunt Ethel, Joan Matheson. Gertrude, Margot Boyd. Edwina, Anna Cropper. Father Blizzard, Philip Sully. Sir Alfred, Norman Bird. Ignatia, Cara Kelly. With Marcia King, Michael Deacon, Dominic Rickards, Christopher Scott, and Richard Tate. Elizabeth Taylor's In a Summer Season was dramatized by Elspeth Sands and directed by Jane Morgan.
In tomorrow evening's Fear on Four, Richard Pascoe plays a doctor trying hard to solve a puzzle concerning some missing time. Also in the cast are Helena Breck as Felicity and Crawford Logan as George. And in the play, they're driving home together when an unaccountable happening takes place, which leads them to a horror that only the doctor can help prevent. Will the doctor save Felicity? Well, to find out, you'll have to listen to Fear on Four at 7:30 tomorrow evening. Now, this evening, it's just after 9:15, and a reminder that you're listening to Radio 4, where Richard Baker now presents Music in Mind.
Good evening. Hungarians, said George Mikes, who should know, form not only a local clique, but a worldwide conspiracy. The Hungarian will fall on his feet wherever he may find himself. Next week, I'm sure, the members of the Hungarian State Opera and Ballet will rapidly find their feet in their first ever London season at Covent Garden, and we'll have a Hungarian edition in their honour. Humour is certainly a marked Hungarian characteristic, and here's Ernst von Dohnányi sending up portentous piano concertos at the start of his Variations on a Nursery Song.